Michael is back today on the podcast.
I am back. Hello, everybody. Hi, everybody.
And Thursday, Mike alleges that he will be ready to be back.
Yeah, I'll be ready to be back.
For the program.
You need a day to get ready after being gone this long. It takes a while to get ready.
And today's the warm-up show.
Yeah, it's kind of a warm-up, yeah. Yeah, that's a long time to be off, you know.
And, oh, my God, 5 weeks.
Yeah, long time. But I had a great time, except a real fast story.
Oh, yeah, bring it. I knew you had some technical issues at the house.
Yeah.
You mentioned that.
The problem is, you know, the cottages, right, on the lakeside, wonderful little cottage on the water. And very getaway-ish, but don't envision anything fantastic. Not that if she's listening, it wasn't fantastic. It was a wonderful little place. In fact, down the road was Michael Moore's house, believe it or not. Used to be Michael Moore's. Until the
sounds
the
like
divorce.
A high rent district already.
Well, his is the only nice house, you know. Well, there again, I'm not trying to be critical of anybody's place. Michael Moore is the one with the
covering all your bases.
10,000 square feet. I know I'm already way in the weeds. 10,000 square feet, a log home that was built, and then of course
everything else is 2,000 square feet, and his is 10,000.
Yeah, even 1,100 square feet, 1,500, that sort of thing. And but anyway,
that reminds me, just a quick aside.
Yeah.
I was reading about Scottie Pippen selling his house, and
yeah,
they were saying he lives not too far from Michael Jordan, who also was selling his house, and they're saying Michael Jordan's house is absolutely unsellable.
Mm.
It's 56,000 square feet.
Oh my God.
Like, no one wants a 56,000 square foot home.
Absolutely not.
With like two basketball courts.
Oh, you know, my God.
Like a basketball court between the kitchen and the dining room. I mean, it's like, it's crazy.
Do you believe that?
It's just really dumb the way it was set up, and
yeah,
it's way too big, and it's got MJ23 all over everything.
Oh, God. That's the other thing.
Wow. That is a long story, but quite well told.
But isn't that something when you have something that's that big and it sucks? It's
well,
poorly
I'm sure
done.
It's all
poorly designed.
You know, it's probably all first class, but it's all about him.
It sounds and tacky, though. Really
when,
tacky.
When you move in there and you're not Michael Jordan, it doesn't make much sense.
Right, to have it.
Yeah.
So. Well, the Moores, of course, ended in divorce. She ended up with a DUI by Torch Lake, as a matter of fact.
Ooh.
And they had umpteen Ooh. Builders. In fact, when you look at the house, you can tell it's like three different builders because the house has three distinct different looks. So as,
really?
They would, as they would fight and rehire builders, you would see a whole different look to this log cabin. And it took forever to build, and it cost a fortune. And Michael
Moore.
The neighbors
appalled with the work?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And, of course, Michael Moore didn't like the – she liked spending money, and he didn't, of course. And but he has the money, believe me, and so they spent a lot of money, and then but now there it sits, and they're divorced, and it's over with, and now it's for sale, and anyway.
That's weird. I never expected that those two to get divorced.
No, me either.
Because they're both extremely together in terms of politics.
Yep.
They're both fat. I don't know why that. I don't know why. I mean, I feel terrible saying that, but it just seemed like they sort of fit.
That's right. That's right.
And everything was on the up and up, and then all of a sudden it's funny. I mean, they're real supportive of each other, and then all of a sudden when they're divorcing, then it's like all hell breaks loose, and
yeah,
she's a
right.
drunk, and...
That's right.
He treated me like shit, and he's stingy.
Oh, God, I know it.
And I was the inspiration behind him. I did all the work behind the scenes, and he doesn't
want
to give me
right.
anything for it. She didn't do a damn thing. I did it all myself. She didn't deserve a cent.
That's right. That's right. Well, this cottage, the toilets are a little weak, a little on the weak side.
Ooh, that's always frightening.
Yeah, and you know, I need nuclear toilets. Apparently, I don't understand. Apparently, I must. I mean, it sort of makes me mad because it's like, well, I'm not filling up bowls all over town. I don't consider myself. I mean, I look around at some of these dudes, and it's like, tell me that guy doesn't crank some loads. You know, and it's like, I'm just not, like, crapping these big 10-foot turds or anything. And
well,
so...
Why are you victimized constantly by these weak toilets?
I know, and that's what I feel is the case. It makes me look bad. Like, what, another one?
You know? Where's the bathroom? I gotta take a dump.
Yeah, and so... But I think if you're... You need a toilet that's gonna take care of business. In fact,
everyone feels better with a strong toilet. It's just a good feeling. I don't care how small or big
that's
you are.
Right.
Like, this is going to get the job done.
You don't want to worry about it. You don't
no.
worry
about
it.
No.
And, is that so? Who made you pope in this dump, huh?
So I knew when I test flushed those toilets, we were in trouble right away. I was like, oh, nothing had very strong flush. Everything was kind of like, Before we even started, it so was kind of like...
Was Trish saying, Michael, don't use too much paper.
Yeah.
Toilets are weak.
Well, and the thing is, no wonder the toilet paper was like really light. I mean, the toilet paper was such like...
Oh,
if you weren't very careful, it was going to go right through that. You know, I mean, your finger's going to end up doing most of the work.
Oh, for Christ.
I know. It sounds disgusting. But regular toilet paper would never make it. So on the very first day, I clogged toilet number one right by the master bedroom. Wouldn't you know it? First fucking day. And I shut that fucker down.
So anybody gets up in the middle of the night is just going to contribute to the disaster.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, it's not like I took this big monster shit after traveling.
Well, was there a plunger?
Yeah, there was a plunger, but I have never seen so cheap of a plunger in all my life.
The plunger was ineffective?
I think the plunger was, like, built in 1953. and it collapsed immediately. The minute you pushed down on it, it went inside out.
No.
Yeah, it would go inside out. Then you'd have to bang it on the underside of the toilet bowl to try
disaster.
To right itself.
I know, and you really want that toilet water flying all over the bathroom,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, and you notice that about toilet plungers when you go to fix them. When they spring back to life... They throw
shit
water at you.
All over the place. Yep.
Yeah, it's like, well, fuck you too.
Isn't that nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, and they don't
it's
make
like
them.
Urinals that tend to spray at you. It's
that's
like, oh,
right.
Great, just what I want. I could just pee on myself.
That's right. That's right. And it makes you mad too because these damn toilet soldiers, they barely cover the hole. So these plumbers always say, well, you got to cover the hole. Well, then why don't you make a toilet soldier that covers the hole? Why do you have to spend 10 minutes? Lining it up. So when I push down, there's going to be no, you know, there's going to be the perfect suction. It's always on an angle where it's like, well, you see, it wasn't exactly, you know, you didn't exactly have a good
that.
Seal on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why do you make them so small that it takes forever to get a good seal on it?
It shouldn't take Einstein to line
bullshit.
The thing up.
I can't believe we're 2016. And we are all still struggling to deal with clogged fucking toilets. And then you talk to a plumber, a master plumber the other day. I got fed up in my own house, and he got me a couple American Standard toilets, nuclear toilets. They weren't that expensive.
And is American Standard the way to go?
It'll take you down with it. If you're not careful, you're
That's
going
good.
Down a hole with it.
I like to hear that.
Yeah, and the plumber said, he goes, this thing will take 5 toilet paper rolls and you with it. So don't go too close to it. And he was right. This thing is unbelievable.
So you're walking around your house very confidently these days.
Yeah, very confident. If only I'd had this toilet back when that guy from the Lions game went in there. That story would have never happened.
Oh, boy.
But in any event, it's incredible. But why is it? And I asked him, I said, well, for regular toilets, these toilet soldiers, plungers, they don't fucking work, you know? And it's like, well, I said, what do you guys do when you're confronted with a big fucking dammed up toilet? So bad that they got to call a plumber. What do the pros do when you're confronted with this?
Some industrial plunger?
Yeah. And they use these little toilet augers. I'm like, no, you got to twist an auger down there to bust that fucker up? Oh, I'm so sorry.
Wait, you so know. You never finished with toilet number one.
All right, so anyway, so toilet one shuts down on the first fucking day. and here's how it goes. You know, now I flush it, right? And here's what we get.
Mike is slowly spinning in his chair, impersonating the cloud deck, which is unfortunately at the top of the water,
and
not going
it's
down.
Going around, it's going up. while we rotate. And the worst scenario is it's like there's still shit visible. You'll hope that it's clogged with no shit visible.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I was clogged with shit visible. Oh, I hate that. So finally, I worked on that thing. Most of the time, what we all do? We let it sit.
Yeah.
Just let it sit. It'll
maybe
clear itself.
Take care of itself.
Hopefully it'll just take care of itself.
And if only you could unplug and plug toilets back in.
I know
like,
it. I know
like
you
computers.
You gotta put signs over it so some hapless person doesn't come along and take a shit. Be like, oh no, man, you shit into a clogged toilet. Why don't you write a note? And so, in any event, it took days. But it cleared itself up where at least you could piss in it.
It took...
You couldn't
kidding.
Shit in it.
What?
Shit at your own risk.
You made that editorial decision.
I did. Because I realized that I put such a baby shit in that first one, I couldn't trust it again. I was like a woman where there'd been an affair. I couldn't trust him again.
So you only
I couldn't trust her again.
Bathroom number two only?
So we had bathroom number two only. Okay, so finally, I get number one going again. We'll accept urine, but I don't trust it for shit. So now we got number two, and that's always been the stronger toilet, right?
Okay.
So that's been the one to use. If you got a crap, use that one. There's always that one, too. You know what I'm saying? In any house?
Sure.
If you're really going to throw the book at it, use that one. And so I've been using that one, and I was always very careful. Sometimes I use my ass as a guillotine to break it up on the way out, hoping to save myself. Because it's like, if I'm going to shit something that's 2 feet long, I turn my anus into an ass guillotine. And I chop that fucker in half by squeezing down on my anus.
Okay.
And I hate that. I know you're all vomiting or laughing, one of the two. You people out there are either laughing so hard you can't see to drive, or you're ready to vomit. But anyway, tell me you haven't used your ass as a guillotine once or twice. You're not fooling me. You're not fooling me. No, there's not one of you fooling me. And so I was using my ass as a guillotine. Despite this, apparently I must have, somehow together, I put together a granite rock pile. And I didn't realize it. And I declared that it was okay to flush. And I blind flushed it. What was I thinking? I didn't get up and look and assess whether the toilet could take it. I decided, like, I had done so little. I brought into effect my ass guillotine. And I thought, I think this is okay. I flushed it blind. But did I ever hear that? But the zero story? I hear the toilet function. All of a sudden, I never heard the... I never got the... It didn't happen. And I thought, oh, no. So I stood up, and I turned around, shit visible.
Oh, no.
And it was hopeless. This toilet was fucked up so bad that we had to go to McDonald's to shit for a week and a half.
Get out of here.
Shit, you're not.
No way.
Swear to God.
No fucking way.
We had to go to McDonald's to shit.
Dude, was McDonald's getting tired of seeing you walk in the side door?
Well, I kept acting like I was, I'll be right back. You know,
Oh, did you go look at the menu and then go to the bathroom?
Oh, yeah. Like everybody.
And then walk out the door?
Yeah. So we always had to hold up a, and I always kept thinking, God, I hope I don't just shit at 3 a.m.
Oh.
And you know, up in the boondocks like that, thank God there's always one McDonald's no matter where you go on this planet.
I know. You're
and,
right.
But we'd have to hold it. And you try to get a plumber up north in some of those parts like that, forget it, man. Forget it.
Oh, you
had
to get a plumber?
Try to get a plumber. It's a bitch.
You never got a plumber?
No, finally, I brought it back to life.
Wow.
I did toilet CPR. and it was a mix of going to McDonald's, gave it enough downtime, and then I found another toilet soldier hidden in the garage. I thought, they keep the big stuff back here.
What are they hiding in the garage for?
I don't know, because there was nothing there, man. It was just like the other one. You push it once, it will go inside out.
Oh, great.
And then you try to right side out and everything. So anyway, but I fought and fought and fought, and in the end, I don't know what happened, because it would, all of a sudden, you get it to flush, and I put the toilet soldier down, declare victory. Yes! And then I would flush it just for the victory flush. Like sometimes when you get it to go, blah, 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 it's like, yeah! I got to flush it one more time just to kind of show off. Look what I did. And I hit the thing. It was plugged again.
No way.
It's like, wait a minute. I didn't even shit. It's plugged again. When did that happen?
It's just water.
It was a false read.
Wow.
I've never had that happen in a toilet before in my life.
So what, water level happened, rising, the whole
thing? It happened like 2-3 times, Drew. I finally got it open again. It went, it was nice, looked great. And I gave it a test flush again. Oh, another false read. It was plugged again. And then finally, I got the sumbitch to open up, stay open, and I made it through the balance of the vacation just fine. So there's my story. There's my story, and I'm sticking to it. All right?
Yeah, what a happy ending that was.
Thank you very much. That's my vacation story.
Number one and number two shut down.
Yep.
McDonald's to the rescue.
That's right. That's right.
Until number two is CPR'd successfully.
That's right.
Many efforts.
That's right. That's right.
What a rough story. What a rough vacation.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. Good thing we're on the lake where I could relax.
What happened with number one? In the
number one to this day is weak. And the next renters, did I put a sign up like, you know, perform at your own risk? No.
I knew you didn't.
No. And I didn't want to tell the landlady. She's such a nice gal. I didn't want to tell her the first one was weak.
Yeah, you need to.
So
need
I left
the next,
for the next guy.
The next renters, you need to tell her. Somebody really anal will stay there, and they'll have to tell her.
Yeah, somebody will tell her. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to tell her. I felt bad about it.
Mark was talking about the reviews from a POS hotel.
Love them.
You guys were just driving by, and you decided, well, you do that. You look up reviews because you like reading reviews, which is great fun.
Yeah, but there was one in particular up in White Lake. We were driving by, and I was like, ooh, gross. Who would stay there? I wonder if there's reviews. And sure enough, there were.
I started going through Detroit hotels.
Yeah.
And just looked for the crummiest picture I could find. And it turns out it's the Milner, which apparently is near Comerica, because this guy says he booked six rooms for a Tiger game as a group of us were going. I told everyone to expect to get nothing more than a place to lay our heads. After reading the reviews, but figured we'd chance it due to proximity to Comerica and price. We're all basic needs guys that wanted to spend our money on the experience rather than a place to be sleeping for 5 hours and thought it would be okay. Where do I start?
Oh.
I was told one price on the phone, but got to the hotel and was charged almost $20 more per room.
Oh, the old bait and switch.
The lobby is the size of my living room, and the 90-year-old security guard was sleeping in a chair.
Hey, get what you pay for.
I've never seen an elevator like the one at the Milner. It's in the shape of a triangle and fit three average-sized men uncomfortably.
Just be happy there is an elevator.
The rooms were downright nasty. Looked like housekeeping just tucked the sheets back in the bed. Floors were dirty, stained in crumbs on the floor. Ugh. Bathtub had hair, used soap and shampoo bottles.
Oh, gross. Have you seen the reboot of Vacation, since we're talking about reboot movies?
Yes.
When they go to that one hotel and they want to have sex in the shower and they peel it back. That's the vision I had. All the blood and the hair and pubes.
To top it off, one of our rooms had an empty condom wrapper on the TV and an unused condom next to it.
Oh, well, use it. It's unused.
I thought we'd be able to tough it out for the price, but save yourself and go somewhere else. They gave one star. The next one's one star either. Believe the worst. Now I know what a flea bag is. Sure, the lobby is okay, and I mean, not as bad as reviewers may have led me to expect. There was possibly the only triangular floor in the dinky elevator I've ever seen. After making our way down the dingy prison-like hallway,
what?
I was prepared for the worst and was not surprised. The room was awful. If it had been any smaller, I would have had to sleep sideways. I'm not kidding. I don't ever remember a hotel painted bright yellow. The whole room reminded me of the Honeymooners, if you can remember that show. The curtains, a cheerful brown, were haphazardly hung on the rickety white curtain rods.
There's no such phrase as a cheerful brown. Cheerful brown.
I expected a train to go by rattling by outside my window.
That's a Honeymooners reference, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
The owners are not one to splurge on anything beyond the very basic. One towel was provided, perhaps to satisfy code requirements.
I'm sure it was of low quality.
We slept in our clothes, not trusting whether Detroit requires hotels to spray for bugs every couple years. We will not be staying here again.
I can't. Now, I know you're of limited means, I suppose, but
this guy gave it 4 stars.
Oh,
what?
Oh, okay. And they must work there.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't know. Did they really give him 4 stars? No,
yeah,
review. No,
somebody
review,
did.
Though?
No, there's a review. We stayed here on Saturday for the Kenny Chesney concert, went to the Tiger Gate the next day. The location is fantastic. We were steps away from both our events. Yes, it's old, but that made it really neat. It reminded me of hotels in Europe. It was clean, but by no means luxurious. The room was tiny, but it served our purposes. A place to crash for a few hours before getting up and going to the game.
Well, there you go.
It was $100 the night of a major concert, so they jack up the price for a concert.
Wow.
And all the other hotels in town were much more expensive. Most importantly, we felt safe. I don't like any elevators. This one was 100 years old and shaped like a coffin. Oh, they changed the shape from a triangle to a coffin. My only real complaint is that they do not have their own parking, so we were advised by the desk to park at the Opera House parking structure, which you had to be out of by 6 a.m. What? Since we stayed for the game, we had to pay for 2 days of parking, even though we were only there a little over 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. This one's two. That's a long review.
This is the Milner one?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they have this many, because usually
82.
Really?
82 reviews.
Now, see, the really good ones are the ones that have hardly any reviews, because who the fuck would stay there? And if you do, do you really have a computer to review it?
you got to wonder. Younger people just don't want to pay a lot. Like the guy said, we were saving our money for the experience, which I totally get that.
I suppose. I'm just saying the good, bad reviews of hotels. I can't believe there's that many for that hotel. There's got to be other worse hotels.
I don't know. This sounds pretty bad. Everybody talks about the location. First, the positives. Fantastic location across the street from the Detroit Opera House, 2 blocks to Comerica, 3 blocks to Ford Field, a short walk to the Fox in a Greek town. Nice lobby, particularly the stained glass window and the original tile floors. The opposite of positive. Well, first, let me say we stayed here because many other hotels were booked for the date we needed. Moving along, the hotel needs a lot of work. Our room is at the end of a hall, so it was large with a love seat, TV, dresser, and what some might consider a bed. We could see it was not in good shape, but once we were in it, we could not stop laughing.
I like these people.
Fortunately, we sleep next to each other anyway, but even if we didn't, we would not have had a choice. There was a crevice in the bed big enough to fall into and never get back out of. There was a lump which may have been the prior guest. I didn't want to pull back the somewhat threadbare sheet to look.
I love this joker. This guy rules.
Laying on one side wasn't possible as one simply sunk further into what was once a mattress. One pillow was about 1 inch thick, the other more luxurious at about 2 inches. The bathroom was small, which is not a big deal, but it was very dirty. It's been a while since the baseboards have seen a broom, dust rag, or mop. I politely declined to shower in the somewhat stained bathtub. My husband opted to shower, but the water came out sort of...
What's a woman writing it? Wow, how sexist of me.
But the water came out in one big stream. He tried to fix it, which caused it to spray more outside the shower than in it.
Oh, man.
Didn't help the baseboards any. Some windows opened, others didn't. Some blinds worked, some didn't. Some curtains were hanging up, some weren't. We did not eat breakfast there, but the breakfast room was clean with standard continental fare. The staff were pleasant. The midnight shift security guard was a big brawny fellow who fell asleep in the lobby.
Yeah, we heard about this guy. Oh, yeah. No, he must be an improvement over the 90-year-old.
Yeah, the 90-year-old, yeah. The morning security guard, not so much. A sloth could outrun him. As other reviewers mentioned, the hallways are hot. The AC in our room is okay, but keep in mind the air outside was in the 70s. If it had been any warmer, the AC would have not been able to keep up. The towels and washcloths were clean but very rough. No need to bring a loofah.
Oh, man.
So if you need a place to stay and don't mind not sleeping well, not bathing in the morning, sure, stay here. It's convenient. Would I stay here again? Boy, the jury's out on that one.
What an awesome review.
By the way, when we were leaving, a hotel employee was outside washing windows. I managed to not suggest he go up and clean the bathrooms. Oh, that's good. And speak of bathrooms, there are some off the lobby, but they are locked. One more thing.
Of course.
The elevators are teeny tiny, and the one closest to the lobby is actually triangular. There we go.
Yeah.
Kind of cute, actually. If you're more than three of you and you have more than a carry-on, you'll need multiple trips, so you need to take the stairs.
Oh, I want to go see the infamous Milner Hotel elevator now.
If you do decide to stay here, request a room at the end of the hall. From what I understand, wait, is there more?
Oh, this person's funny.
God.
Can you review their reviews? Can you give her five stars
for
that review?
That's really, what a great review.
Hey, click on, are these Google or is this Yelp?
Google.
Or? Click on her name. I bet you she reviewed other things. Hopefully with that she gave one star to.
She didn't give her name.
Oh, she didn't. Oh.
Wait.
The very top, there should be the name, whatever it goes by.
No.
No,
she
really.
She says Milner Hotel. Oh, boy. The next one, the photos of the room on this website surely exaggerate the quality of our rooms. My friend and I checked in very late after the Nicki Minaj concert because we needed a place to crash. You know, with all the location they have, why don't they fix this fucking place up?
Because people are staying there regardless.
It's true. I guess they're just making lots of profit. It was unbelievably hot in the building, especially in our room. We were in the fourth floor of the hotel. The cable in our room was dysfunctional. The bathroom ceiling looked like it was completely deteriorating. And the bathroom in general was gross. Behind the toilet was white tape to try and cover up some type of water damage. There was rust debris in the corners of the bathroom, and the carpet was absolutely filthy, all caps.
Ugh.
It was an indoor-outdoor carpet that was supposed to be tan, but had black stains all over it. The underside of my bed was falling apart, and there were shards of wood underneath the bed from where it had busted. If it weren't for the location of this hotel, I wouldn't have paid $20 a night for it. A plus, though, on the outside, the trees were decorated in beautiful, bright blue Christmas-style lights.
As if they do
safe
it.
Safe area to crash. That's about it. Oh, and the staff was helpful.
You know, it's funny. The trees outside were decorated, presumably for the holidays, right?
I guess, or maybe to give the appearance of a festive place to stay.
And yet, do you remember the beginning of the review? And he talked about how hot it was. So in the winter, it was actually hot in the hotel.
And it was lit up. God, lights were on. This next review is worst hotel I've ever stayed at. I don't even know where to begin. My boyfriend and I needed a place to stay for one night in Detroit before we flew back to Orlando the next day. We drove from Upper Michigan to Detroit as we flew from the Detroit Metro Airport. There was a Tiger game going on at the time. We found a lot of places were booked. I should have known something was up with this hotel since the location is fantastic right next to the stadium during a Tigers game. Yet this hotel had rooms available and others further away were booked. Hint number one, we're used to staying in older hotels, but there's a difference between old and clean and old and filthy and inhumane with no working air. They put us on the highest floor, the 10th floor in room 1011, I believe it was. It was the room at the very end of the hall, so it was more triangular in shape. Upon walking in, I noticed how unbearably hot it was. We were told at check-in that the room had been sitting with the air off, so it would take 30 minutes to cool down. So once we turned on the tiny window unit that looked old and unserviced, I wanted to freshen up after the five-hour drive, but we had to run out of the room due to the fact we were both sweating so much in the muggy, stale, unbearably hot and humid room. Before we ran out to let the air cool the room down, I noticed the green old carpet with white stains all over.
Ugh.
And the old... Who is staining every goddamn carpet in the place?
With what's something going on? White. Ew.
No, black in the last room. The stains are different colors, so you can't figure out what they are exactly.
Is that a good thing?
I don't know.
At least it's not red.
I noticed the green old carpet with white stains on it. The dirty couch with white stains on the arm of the couch. I turned the bed sheets down, only to notice what looked to be old blood stains on the back of the bedspread.
Oh, my God.
Apparently could not be washed out. Ew! The bathroom was another story. The sink cabinet door was falling down.
I'm shocked.
The toilet looked as if crap stains were left all in it. The shower had scum and stains all over it. The blinds were broken. The bathroom also had a closet, and on the shelf was a used pair of black panties just sitting there.
What? Someone left their panties behind?
Yes.
Wow. Why
well, once you slept in them, you wouldn't want them ever again.
Why the negative review? Free panties. You know?
Yeah, free pair of panties for my panty room. That's great. That's a bonus. I'm giving it 2 stars.
There's another review underneath that. Like, that's 5 stars. Hey, free pair of panties, man.
Found a pair of black panties for my panty room.
This
my
is band, idiotic.
My band were playing at the Opera House. We just started out. I'd fucked about 1,500 women, and I'd just started my panty room. I needed a few extra pairs just to beef up the total.
Relaxing, laughing, talking, gross. Sleeping, and making love.
The bathroom was also a closet, and on the shelf was a used pair of black undies. Oh, just left sitting there. Panties left sitting there. If the room was cleaned, how could they have missed a pair of used black panties?
Well, they didn't want to touch it. What are you talking about, reviewer?
The bathroom.
That should have been the response from the management. I'm not touching those panties.
Wouldn't that be great if they had responses?
Well, they do. You know, on TripAdvisor, they do respond a lot of times, hotel management. In Yelp, they respond, too. I don't think this is the kind of establishment that would respond.
The bathroom floor had dirt piled high in the corners. I would not walk anywhere in there without shoes. The blinds were pulled up, and I went to lower the blinds to let the room try to cool down. It was every bit of... Hey!
Whoa, quiet now.
It was every bit of 90-plus degrees in there, and the blinds fell down and hit me in the head.
Oh.
We left to go eat dinner, hoping to return to at least a cool room to get us through the night until we flew out the next day. We returned 5 hours later. We walked into a room that was now only about 88 degrees, 100% humidity.
100%.
Lucky.
Muggy air hit me as soon as I walked in. I sat near the tiny window unit, had barely cool air hit me. We immediately started sweating profusely. You couldn't even walk in the bathroom. It was even hotter in there.
Oh.
We called the front desk and asked about the air and asked me to move to another room, only to be told that moving to a new room will not be any better.
Nice management.
The window units are old, need to be replaced, and they really do not work. He even said, you have it better than most people, as the 10th floor is the cooler floor.
Yeah, you two should get a room, you know?
My boyfriend ran out to get some bottled water as I was feeling dizzy and sick to my stomach from the stale heat. He brought back a bucket of ice, and I ate the whole bucket of ice just to cool off.
Oh, my God. I would not eat ice from that building.
He went out.
Oh, okay.
It said he went out.
Oh.
I live in Florida. I've gone through bad hurricanes with no power, and this hotel was just as bad. My boyfriend then called down to see if they had a fan we could use. The front desk.
Oh, yeah, right. What are the odds?
As if. He said we could ask the security guard when he gets back from his rounds have a fan. Wait,
which one? The 90-year-old security guard or the one that's slower than a sloth?
Oh, wait. Here we go. Mind you, the security guard was sleeping in the lobby chair when we walked in from being out that evening.
The 90-year-old guy.
Yes. An hour later, still no fan. He could not tell us if they even had a fan. It was now 3 a.m. Yes, we lay there sweating and dizzy until about 4 a.m. when we had a plane to be on the next day. I even thought about sleeping outside as it was cooler there. I finally fell asleep only to wake every few minutes with my hair matted to my neck, the pillow wet with sweat, and everything else soaked.
Mm.
That morning, my boyfriend took a shower only to get out and immediately soak a towel with sweat and have sweat pour down him right after a shower.
Why bother?
We could not run fast enough out of the hotel. I told the front desk lady to check out everything, only to be told the manager would call us the next day about everything. Well, it's now been 4 days. No manager's called us, and I'm not surprised. Why would you want the manager to call you?
They're not going to do
anything.
Just
get the fuck out of there and don't ever go back.
Cut your losses.
Yeah, cut your losses. The lady that morning also told us we were actually on the hottest floor, and the guy overnight should have moved us to another room.
Oh, nice passing the buck.
That's a big help.
Nice passing the buck.
He just didn't want to get bothered to get the keys and have to move her and clean the... Well, they don't clean the rooms. What am I talking about? I cannot speak for the other rooms, but I can only say the room we were in was filthy and a sweat box that was completely inhumane for anyone to have to pay money to sleep in. And not even so much as an I'm sorry from the manager that was supposed to call. What a dump. Not only that, but the next day I was dizzy and sick to my stomach and almost throwing up all day from the room.
Where's the bathroom? I got to take a dump.
To date, it's 4 days later. I'm still sick. And I think I was breathing in mold from the air conditioner. It didn't work in service since who knows when. My glands are swollen from this hotel. I will sleep outside before I ever come near this hotel, ever. It's the worst place we've ever stayed. It might be the worst place ever.
Now,
oh, my God!
Now, while you're reading that review, I decided to look up TripAdvisor. A fantastic website if you're going to look for a hotel anywhere. Milner is rated 24 out of 34, but here's the bad news. It's no longer a hotel.
What?
Apparently it was converted into apartments in 2015.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You can rent apartments by the year, but there's some
reviews are still worth reading though.
Oh, of course. Well, here's the best part about TripAdvisor. There's photos. So I clicked on one. Let me see if I can find this one, which they might have reviewed it on Google as well, but it's worst hotel I've ever stayed at. And, they were talking about once again, a Tigers game. This person's from Florida and let me close this. But the first photo you click on, which can you really tell what that is right there, Drew?
No,
okay.
No idea.
So you click on it. It's the shit stained toilet.
Oh, God.
So someone had to stick a camera down.
Oh, my God. Well, from the outside, it doesn't look that bad.
No, here's another picture.
That is so deceptive.
That is the right. That right there is the infamous triangle elevator.
Oh, wow.
Sideways.
Cool.
See, it looks. It does look nice
it's
out there.
So deceptive. This is so unfair. The hallway doesn't look that bad.
Oh, you're right by Comerica.
Wow.
What?
Oh, wait, who took these pictures?
Well, this is somebody that gave it a 4-star review. That's bullshit. That's gotta be, right?
A 4-star review? What kind of standards can this person possibly have?
Well, that picture of that hotel room didn't look that bad.
No, see, no, it didn't.
There's some more up here. Believe the worst.
Expect less than a basic hotel.
Ew.
Oh, God. Oh, is that gross.
Ugh.
Oh, that. Oh, never, never, never.
I can't believe how bad. There's some worse reviews. There's a hotel. Well, you know what? Let me go on TripAdvisor. Like I said, it's 24 out of 34. What could possibly be worse?
How can that be?
What could be worse than that hotel?
What's the hotel you and Julie were driving by? What you said you look at the reviews?
Let me see. Pontiac Lake Motel.
It sounds awful already.
It was pretty bad. Well, the thing that really caught my eye was the $50 a night sign outside, and it looks
$50 a night.
It looks really tiny.
You don't advertise stuff like that. That just says it all, doesn't it?
Well, and they did the bait and switch because this one review said, went there with my friend so they could get a room, and they had their open sign. It said open, but the door was locked. Then we called him, and the guy said there was one room, and it was $70, and his sign said 50 to 60 per night. So that was a ripoff. Then the room, he said, had just been painted. It didn't have any toilet paper, but he brought some. Then when the guy gave him the toilet paper, he just drove off. I think that was a little weird. Rip off. He
drove off.
Yeah. Another one. Don't do it. 5 exclamation points. There's no renovations going on here. Just illegal sewage dumping. The city's all over this place since the new owner took over because of all his illegal shenanigans. He actually wrote shenanigans.
Wow.
The rooms are full of bed bugs and the owners don't even care. He just wants to collect the money until the place just falls down. Save your money and stay in a tent. It's safer. Stay in a tent. Doesn't even deserve 1 star, but that's the only rating they'd let me give. Stay there one night, and the next day after returning home, I was covered in red welts.
Oh,
I hope they
gross.
Didn't. I hope they didn't come home with me, or I will sue.
These go to 11.
I'm sure they'll settle with you.
And then on TripAdvisor, there's an even worse hotel, the America's Best Value Inn in Dearborn/Detroit, and there's some really bad reviews. And this one, like I said, actually got a response from management. So simple,
oh, no.
Simple 1 star, really short review. We did not stay at this. We did not stay. The place was a dump. Unsavory characters in the lobbies and surrounding, smoky, dirty carpet, and rundown condition.
Unsavory characters in the lobby.
Okay, that's a little. That's nice. That's a little. Little flair.
Color, yeah.
Color character, yeah. Everything was very confining, from the elevator to the hallways and the lobbies. The surroundings, like the parking lot, were seemingly unsafe. The area fencing from the public should be a must. Not safe to walk or park. So, how in God's name do you respond as management?
Well, I'm dying to hear it.
Dear guest, I'm sorry you did not enjoy your current stay at our location. I understand that the rooms are on the small side, but the building was built in the 1800s.
Oh, that's great.
So there's a lot of history here.
Don't be afraid to renovate.
There's a lot of history here.
Oh, that does so much for you when you're staying in a hotel.
So you're going to sacrifice your shitty room for a lot of history and colorful characters. As far as the dirty carpet, this is the biggest load of crap. As far as the dirty carpet and the smell of smoke, I will address the staff members about this.
Go home to mommy.
The area here is also very safe for parking and walking.
Oh, right.
That was the response.
Get out of here.
There's some really good ones. There's some really long ones. But I'm telling you, you can just kill.
The long ones are usually pretty damn good. I mean, yeah. I'm usually afraid of things that are really long. But when it comes to hotel,
if you're bored and you want to kill some time, just go read bad hotel and restaurant reviews. Let's see. What's the worst?
Well, you just can picture the whole experience. I mean, that last one, the descriptions were just phenomenal. I mean, that chick was sick 4 days later.
That one lady's review was just phenomenal. Let's see, what's the lowest rated one? It doesn't even. Oh, you know what it is? Some don't even have reviews. So the lowest rated one that has a review for the city of Detroit is a hotel called the Victory Inn in East Dearborn.
It's lower than the Milner?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it got one. It only has
the
one
Victory Inn.
It has one review, 1 star.
These go to 11.
I'm sure you feel like a big winner when you stay there. At the Victory Inn.
I agree.
This property was formerly the Star Motel, Hooker's Crime Grit. You'll find it all in this area. You're right up against the freeway on-ramp.
Here's hurry up the horse!
Here's something to consider. They had to close in their room doors with... Wait. They had to close in their room doors with a caged-in area to prevent truckers, and others from sneaking hookers who are usually hanging in the shadows of the area.
Shake a leg, woman!
You'll be parking your car outside unattended at your own risk. If this doesn't make you want to stay, there's always the seedy topless bar right next door within 100 feet of the place. Yummy, eh? I think this guy's just a little stiff.
Did you give the name of the topless bar?
No.
Come on.
He wouldn't dare.
They probably got high quality dancers.
It's right. Yeah, that's crap. I'm going to report his review.
You get past the
I'm reporting
cesarean
his
scars. They're pretty classy over there.
Well, this guy just has a problem with fun.
Yeah, he does sound like a bit of a fun governor. That's convenient location. City bar right next door.
Oh, you're right.
Hotel
you're backed
town?
Up. You're backed up to the on ramp. You can get anywhere in 15 minutes.
Yeah, convenience.
Convenience. Let's see. Let's see, Suburban House Motel. You ever heard of that place in Detroit?
No.
One review, 1 whopping star. Vacation nightmare. I was looking forward to my first stay at the motel while visiting my family in Detroit. My room had to be changed because I wake with bed bugs crawling on me.
Oh, you had me at hello.
I took one and showed it to the clerk. Okay. Why bother?
I know why.
Why bother? Is he
an exterminator in his spare time?
He changed my room and told me my new room has a brand new mattress.
Make it happen.
I was so glad to go to sleep and awaken again with bug bites all over my ankles, face, and neck. I again told the clerk Tuesday, and he told me.
No, you didn't stay another night. You didn't. You did. Come on, that's two nights, two rooms, bed bugs, both nights. Are you kidding me?
As you can see, I can't let it go.
This clerk's response is precious. I again told the clerk Tuesday, and he told me, the manager has to spray the bed.
Damn that.
He has to buy some spray and spray the bed. No one sprayed my room. I checked out Wednesday to go stay with my relatives. Wednesday to go stay with your relatives. Nice learning curve.
My God.
That should be the management's response. Nice learning curve staying till Wednesday.
My game is off. Ha ha.
I was not satisfied with my stay, and I should have gotten a compensation for my inconvenience. That is the Suburban House Motel on Telegraph.
Hell yeah.
Isn't this just a gold mine?
These people think they're going to turn a place like that around during their stay.
I know.
The place has sucked ass for years, obviously, to be such a piece of shit, and they think in 3 days they're going to turn the management around.
That's
the first time that I couldn't fully seduce you.
Here's the Viking Motel. Does that ring a bell?
Yes, it does.
Isn't that where Illich got, one of the younger Illich just got in trouble? Wasn't it the Viking? I believe it was.
Mark, your memory's outrageous today.
1.5 stars. 17 are terrible, 2 are poor, 2 are average, 1 very good, and 1 excellent. Do we dare read the excellent review?
No.
It'd
be silly. It's an employee.
The first review. Ha 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 ha. Good to live an adventure.
Ha ha.
Actually, this place is better if you want to get some crack. Ha 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 ha. Rooms are dirty and the doors broke, most likely from a dealer's fight. 2 exclamation points.
Sorry if I offended you.
If you have enough money, go downtown and get a normal hotel. Room was very dirty. Manager said, look at the room, and if you don't like it, he'd give me my money back. He did not say sales are final. Too bad.
Bye-bye.
So they left?
Yeah. Worst motel ever. It seemed like the bed sheet was not changed for over a month.
Oh, and the toilet
had not been cleaned ever. Here's a big shock. The internet didn't work. You're staying at that shitty hotel and you're worried about the internet?
Are you okay? Are you all right?
The toilet hasn't been cleaned ever. And they think the internet's going to work?
This poor reviewer's from Switzerland.
Oh, God. Oh boy.
It's a horrible place. That's another great review. I rented a room over the telephone from Florida, and when I arrived, I found homeless people loitering in the facility. The area was dark and stinky.
In the facility?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Where do these people come from?
Even the office of the motel was nothing but a kitchen room littered with garbage and trash cans.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
The old woman from India does not understand English, and her husband either. How do you know they were from India?
That's an accent. When people complain, they act like they don't understand.
When I complain about the quality of the facility to the son, who speaks English,
they put their palms up.
He was rude. He refused to help me cancel the reservation.
I think she's as Native American as I am.
I called the booking agency, and the agent told me she would charge me for the one night but cannot refund me for the next night. That doesn't make any sense.
It's ridiculous.
I rented a room at a different motel and left, called the booking. Blah, blah, blah.
Go home to mommy.
Oh my God.
Go home. Bye. Go home to mommy. Go home to mommy.
We could kill about 20 hours just reading bad.
There's no end.
So next time, it's so funny
when people get screwed. Well,
I mean, do they not take a bit of responsibility when you see the outside of these places?
Well, that one, the Milner, was, I mean, I would have been fooled by that place.
All right, one more.
Okay.
One more. Wonderful place.
This is like batting practice. Always one more.
Wonderful place. Great view. Of course, they're being very sarcastic. 1 star. We were handed a room key to number 27 by the Indians that spoke little English at the front desk of the Viking Motel. As we approached the door, a 300-pound black man exited what was supposed to be our room. After exchanging confused looks, we returned to the front desk for a new room.
You're
as the man,
we didn't tell you you're sharing a room with a 300-pound black man. Is that a problem?
Once again, more
are you racist?
More color and character. As we this gets even better. As we returned to the front desk for a new room, as the manager, who was creepily drinking a glass of milk.
A glass of milk but at a hotel?
Drinking it creepily like
the front desk?
That is weird. Who the fuck?
I mean, a can of Coke, a bottle of Coke, coffee, but a glass of milk?
Is it offensive? You tell me. Oh,
who drinks a glass of milk in a workplace setting?
I don't know. No one. No one does. These people, are they? They have calcium deficiencies?
He doesn't speak English. Don't get it. All right, so the manager.
Calcium deficiency? Palms go up. Huh?
The manager was creepily drinking a glass of milk, ran out, and chased said black man down the road. The 300-pound guy.
That was an act. You know that was an act.
Luckily for us, we were standing in the office that was surrounded by bulletproof glass. Then the manager came in and offered us room number 26 next to the room with the mysterious 300-pound black man. Note of advice, don't cheap out on a $50 hotel, especially this one. I would recommend this hotel only to a friend that I hate. Staying in January, traveled on business.
I want to know more about the mysterious black man that weighs 300 pounds.
Chased down the street by the milk-drinking manager.
Wait, why did he chase him down the street if he went back there? What's going on? Is that a big thing where he goes, look, I know you're staying here, but this is just, I'm just pretending that I don't know why you were in the room, okay? Play along. Put your hands up in the air.
I stayed at a hotel once down in Mexico, and it's an all-inclusive place. And when they took me to the room, you know, they have the bellhop or whatever, and they opened the door. And there were 10 people in there. And that's why I kind of, when he said after this reviewer, and they said after exchanging confused looks, I know that feeling because these people immediately, you know, you're walking into their hotel room and they turn and all stare at you and you're like, oh. You have your bags like,
That reminds me, in Las Vegas,
it happens.
I checked into a hotel in Vegas. It was the first time, no, second time I think I went there. And it was like the Mirage. It was a nice hotel. And they're like, oh, it's crazy. We're all booked. But we got a room for you. They sent me this other hotel, which was not even on the strip.
Oh, no.
And we're like, what the fuck? Anyway, check in. We're like almost in tears because like this room sucks. It was one of those beds that you do not want to sleep in. It just has that look like I'm not even taking the covers down. I'm sleeping in my clothes. Forget it. Don't even think about it.
Like the Milner.
Like the Milner, yeah. And the shower. Ugh. I mean, you just have to hold your nose and take a shower and suffer through it. But anyway, you're in there sitting on the bed just like trying to figure out how things went so horribly wrong. And the door opens and this guy and his wife and two kids come walking in and they're like, they go, hey, you're in our room. Get out of here. And we're like, fuck you, we've been here for hours. What are you talking about? You're in our room.
They didn't leave any of their stuff behind?
No, and they stayed in the room. They thought they were going to squat or something. One of them, I think the wife went down to the front hall like they weren't giving up the room. She went to the front desk, comes back and goes, no, it's room blah, blah, blah. They told them the wrong room.
And they just just walked. Okay.
And they did not apologize or anything. They're just like, oh, too well.
Too bad there wasn't a manager drinking milk who could have chased them down the street. That might be my favorite story I've ever heard.
That is awesome.
300-pound black man exited after exchanging.
I'll finish my Scientology rant here. Leah Remini, of course, has got her TV show.
She's hot.
She's very hot. I think she's really cute.
She's a doll.
And I think she has huge balls for leaving the church and pointing out
the way she did.
The Church of Scientology, what is going on there? I don't understand how it continues. I don't get it. It's the most bizarre thing. But anyway, she's the latest to emerge. Apparently okay, and she's trying to point out that this is a pretty serious thing. People are trapped in there. You know, we need help getting these people free.
You think Travolta's trapped, or is he happily trapped?
Oh, yeah, he's trapped. He gave up a lot of information, one of those audits, unfortunately. And his file is just too big, it's too filled with homosexual activity.
Exactly, exactly.
They'll release all of it, pictures and everything. So anyway, this A&E show is, I guess the majority of it is about her leaving the Church of Scientology.
Doesn't some of it talk, she talks to other people that have left, or she helps them leave?
Yeah, yeah, she's trying to be sort of a facilitator, I think.
That's, you know, that's good.
So the church, naturally, before this thing airs, they have to come out and say, well, after they release a clip of her, let's see, Church Huncho, Karen Powell wrote the scathing letter threatening any CEO and the show's executive producer. It's never enough for them to just make a comment. They have to threaten people, naturally. They're all about legal activity. A program about a religion hosted by Ms. Remini is doomed to be a cheap reality TV show by a has-been actress. Now, this is a church, by the way, calling her a has-been actress. Not exactly something you expect a church to say in a release. Has-been actress now a decade removed from the peak of her career.
It's okay. Our president says things like, you know, Hamilton, which I hear is overrated.
He's just got to grow some thicker skin. I mean, please. Unable to move on with her life, Ms. Remini has made a cottage industry out of whining both about her former religion that expelled her as well as her former friends. She alienated with her unending bitterness and seething anger.
I love that it's one of those I fired, I quit arguments.
Yeah.
We expelled you. I left the church.
Rather than letting go, Ms. Remini has doubled down on her obsessive hatred, turning into the obnoxious, spiteful ex-Scientologist she once vowed she would never become. Again, this is a church's statement about their former member. She also redefined herself by the company she keeps, the letter continued. Ms. Remini tosses out her principles if she smells a buck. Since 2013, she shamelessly exploited her former affiliation with the Church of Scientology as a primary income source. Very nice. Mm. She claimed Remini staged her exit from Scientology for publicity as she was on the verge of being expelled regardless. She also alleged the actress stalked the church's leader before filing a false police report with the, I don't know where that continues. Whatever. She went on to detail all the ways she believed Remini was a hypocrite before demanding the network pull the show. If your untitled documentary project is honest, it should be renamed Leah Remini, Desperate for Attention and Money, the letter concluded. Nice church. Very nice church. Oh, yeah, let's see the clip. Sure.
The hope of Scientology just beat the out of me.
My whole life, I was a very dedicated Scientologist.
David Miscavige, it's a hammer in my face.
I didn't want to find out what I'd done was a lie.
All the money we spent to try to hang on to my family, they've been owning me for all these years.
Something inside of me was saying, get them out of this thing.
I was 14 when I started in Scientology. I had a boss who was 35 years old, and we had sex. Then the organization did not tell my mother, did not tell the police. They're going to sweep it under the carpet, and it'll all be over with.
Fight for your family. Fight for your daughters, your sons. Let's get to the abuses. Let's get to the abortions. Wake up.
And tonight, Leah Remini talks about her new show on A&E on Entertainment Tonight. How does this church avoid
paying taxes,
police suspicion, if nothing else? Never.
It's their church. They're protected. Protected big time.
But some of these people being paid, you know, 25 cents an hour to do this hardcore labor, adults. People who are chased when they try to leave. People who are stopped from leaving. Stopped by security people.
We know they have that sweet bunker now with all the secrets in it in New Mexico.
We need to call that guy.
I know. The only non-church member that's been in there. Tom, who are you texting?
I'm doing something. Don't worry.
What are you doing?
It's for the show. You don't have to know.
Oh, is it what I think it is?
Maybe.
Spiel Monster?
I'm trying.
That means no, but yeah.
Let's see. Oh, he's got some names written down there.
Don't look.
Is it Braylon?
No. I've reached out to him, too. No answer back. Chris could do tomorrow with us.
And this is something that could not be done when the show is not going on?
No, I'm trying to do this for this show. Like you guys were talking about Leah Remini. I figured I would take a chance to put a note out. That's the producer in me.
Oh, the underground bunker guy?
Yeah. Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, it's the former mayor of Las Vegas, New Mexico, and he's the only non-church member to see the $10 billion bunker.
Tim Gallegos.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think he's related to Mike Gallegos, the former. Is he a rookie of the year? Did he play for the Yankees in
Mike Gallegos?
Mike Gallegos, yeah.
Where's the bunker again? Is it New Mexico?
Yeah, Las Vegas, New Mexico.
God, there's a lot of weird stuff in New Mexico, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
The Southwest, though, I really grew to like it.
Lost space.
I would have never dreamed that I would find the desert to be even worth looking into.
You're a big fan of of turquoise.
Oh,
jewelry.
All that Southwestern shit. God, no thanks.
I find that so to be tacky. Not really my culture.
Yeah, people go crazy for it. Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know why.
Did you wear a bolo tie when you lived there?
No, but I thought bolo ties were okay.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I never wore one.
If you're
but...
a cowboy, you're in the Southwest. Tom, do you have a bolo tie?
No, I don't.
I don't think they look bad out of place. I mean...
I'm sorry. This mailbox is full and cannot accept new messages.
Come on, Gallegos.
Later. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
One more try? Guy's got lots of phone numbers. I'll give him that.
It's because he's got the Church of Scientology after him now.
He's on the run.
Hey, did you know Trump put out a video today about the transition and how it's going?
Well, he's a busy guy.
He got rid of what's his bull?
Two and a half minutes.
He got rid of my guy in Jersey.
Well, you know why, right? Hello?
Hello?
Mike?
Is this Tim?
Tim.
Who?
Is Tim there? Tim? Tim Gallegos?
No, you got the wrong number.
Who's this? ¿Quién es esta?
Huh?
¿Quién es esta?
Esta. This is Dan.
Dan.
Hola.
Estoy Drew y Mike podcast.
In Detroit.
What?
We're in Detroit. Huh? Calling you.
Escucha
estamos el Drew y Mike podcast.
I can understand you. What?
Oh, you seem to speak English.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm bilingual, but if you speak English, we should go to English. Is that okay?
What other language?
I was trying to speak Spanish. I speak Spanish, but you're not fluent in Spanish, I guess.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, you seem to be struggling with it, but I wasn't having any
problem. No, anyway.
I can speak Spanish. Pardon me?
Ooh.
I don't think you can speak Spanish.
He just was.
What are you talking about? I just said Estamos Drew y Mike podcast. We are the Drew and Mike podcast.
Huh?
Well, I said we are the Drew and Mike podcast in Spanish. That was pretty fluent.
No, it's not.
No?
Estamos. Spanish. We are. What? How should I have said it?
¿Qué pasa?
Estamos. We are.
I don't know what the hell you're saying.
Drew E. Mike podcast.
Hey, Dan, don't hang up.
I'm trying to communicate with you. I'm going to help you with your Spanish, man. You're really struggling.
You don't know how to speak Spanish, so don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Wait, dude, are you still there?
Oh,
go back to your safe space. Jesus.
He doesn't know Spanish.
He said if you don't speak
Spanish.
What's
wrong with Estamos? That's we are.
Bye bye.
No,
I don't think he liked your accent.
I think you were correct.
I think it was too.
I think he's just worried about Trump's America.
God, the guy's jealous
call
of my Spanish.
Call him back and call him Danilo.
Never heard somebody so jealous of my
Spanish.
Dan
in Spanish is Danilo.
Were we disconnected, possibly?
I don't think so.
Did you think we were disconnected?
Oh, totally.
Did he say goodbye?
I don't think so.
Did not say goodbye or adios or hasta luego. Okay.
He should say adios.
Hasta mañana. Right.
Or hasta luego.
Didn't say any of those.
Hasta mañana. See you tomorrow.
Buena noche.
Señor Danilo. Asked for. Señor Danilo. Want me to ask him? I could say
hello.
I'm sorry, we just got disconnected. I was trying to help you, and we got disconnected.
Señor.
You're trying to help me with what?
Señor.
You're Spanish.
Yeah, you seem
to... Spanish. You don't know how to talk Spanish, so don't try to even pretend.
No, you didn't understand what I was saying, and I thought maybe I could help you.
Give us another chance.
You don't know how to talk it. That's right.
Lo siento.
You didn't explain what was wrong.
What?
You didn't explain what was wrong. Estamos Drew and Mike podcast. What's wrong with that? We are the Drew and Mike podcast.
KS2 Problema.
Why don't you just talk English? Help. That's the only language you know anyway.
We're trying.
I was trying to help you out there.
No, you're not helping me out.
Well, I thought
you,
it was...
You don't know how to talk it, so how are you going to help anybody out?
No, you won't even tell me what was wrong with that. Estamos Drew and Mike podcast. We are the Drew and Mike podcast. What's wrong?
What do you want?
We're looking for Tim.
I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we want to wish you a good holiday.
You got the wrong number.
Okay, we should have said it the first time. Jeez.
already told you.
God, you just drag it out and drag it out. I'm trying it off the phone. I got stuff to do.
Just get
Danilo.
All right, so we'll say goodbye. Somebody else at least.
Say goodbye.
Danilo, Feliz Navidad.
Bye-bye.
God, what a dick.
He's kind of a dick.
I think he got disconnected again. Can't believe it.
It's pretty stunning in the end that we would call him a dick, but I do think he was kind
honestly,
of a dick.
Honestly, he was kind of a dick.
Kind of a dick, yeah. I think he was.
I think he would appreciate you trying to speak,
his native tongue, yeah. Exactly.
No, apparently he's just offended by it.
So, yeah, it was weird to talk to Zip.
And what's he doing now?
He's running an agency out of his basement. He's got a studio in his basement.
Oh, wow.
Too. I know. And you know what? He was with Bob Rivers, who did so well. Bob went to Baltimore and Seattle, and Bob retired a couple years ago. Bob bought a house in Vermont, and Bob and Zip are doing a weekend show.
They are?
Yes, on two stations.
What?
Which is crazy. They worked together for 10 years before I worked with Zip.
I'm just surprised that they're doing that. That's
yeah, they stayed friends. Bob forgave him. He was mad at Zip because they were a hot property out of WAAF. They had a lot of job offers, and they decided they were going to go to Sacramento, and it was a solid, I mean, Bob Wolf, who's Larry Bird's agent, represented Bob Rivers. And Bob Wolf had nailed this thing down. It was like 2 years, no cut. And I think it was more than 2 years. It was a lot of money. And Zip freaked out at the last second and didn't show up for a meeting.
Zip.
I know.
sounds to be kind of Zip's way, though, right?
Yeah, he can. That can. I mean, I don't want to be a jerk about it, but Zip, Zip
it is what it is.
He has trouble making decisions, no question. At times, he did. I don't know how he's doing now. He sounds the same to me. I love Zip. But yeah, so, but Bob forgave him, and Zip had stuff to forgive Bob for. That's, I know if Zip's listening to this, if he listens back, he's going, hey, wait a second, that's not the whole story. I wrote a lot of those Christmas songs. And he did when Bob's Twisted Christmas came out and everybody in the world was playing it. There's not one mention of Zip on that, that whole, no, not a mention. And Zip wrote, I believe he co-wrote a number of those. So we got to ask Zip about that. That'll be, I can't wait to hear what he says.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know how much money Bob made on that. That was a real curiosity. I remember asking Bob or suggesting, man, you must have made a killing on the Christmas stuff. And Bob always said, no, you know, record companies are screwed. And I always wondered if he, you know, if he said that, maybe.
But wait, it was on a network for a long time, the Twisted Tune.
Oh, yeah, Twisted. Oh, my God, it was huge. The Christmas, that first CD, though, was gigantic. It must have sold, I would think, hundreds of thousands of copies. It's on the shelves every year.
So, I think my two favorite River stories are, number one, that he had a plane that the Barefoot Bandit stole.
Oh, I know. Isn't that incredible?
So odd. But then the other one, when he took the job in Baltimore, the billboard, the 0-21 start.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I don't know, that's kind of cool in a way. But
he was on Larry King every night.
Yeah.
I mean, every night. I know. And we were trying to get past Bob at WAF, and he's on every magazine cover, or you know, in every magazine at least. Mm-hmm. Who's Zip with there?
That's him and Bob.
Oh, that's Bob?
Yeah.
Today? I can't see this.
I'm not sure exactly.
It's really funny because Bob just resembled Mike Clark when I first looked at him.
Oh, that's definitely today.
Yeah, that's today.
Oh, yeah, it's like 2 years year ago.
Mike Clark.
There's a resemblance there.
Right, yeah.
But he does not look like Mike Clark. There isn't that picture, though. That's weird.
That's funny. Wow. What station are they on?
They're on a station in Worcester, and I think they're on a station in Vermont. And Bob takes his Comrex everywhere with him, and just Zip just patches in from home.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
I know. It's bizarre. Bob's like that. Bob is a real, and he had a 24-track studio in his garage. An amazing guy. He's a self-promoter. The best.
Uh-huh.
And as we learned, because we're trying to get people to forget about Bob, and he's every fucking where is the Orioles lose game after game after game. He started when they were 0-5, and they had their best pitcher was going the next day, and he thought, no, I'll be over tomorrow. And they kept losing and losing, and the thing just got bigger and bigger. That thing was so huge. Eventually, we just gave in and started having Bob on.
Yeah. Well, that's the only thing you could do.
Yeah, if you can't beat him, join him. But they had a big, they had a huge following. I mean, that was a lucky break, actually. Falling with Zip, that worked out fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then Phoenix was... I thought we really got screwed in Phoenix, honestly.
That's a tough market, right? Isn't Phoenix really,
yeah, there's,
really tough?
There's too many stations.
Yeah.
There's like 36 FM stations there. San Francisco's a lot like that. And you move a couple of tenths of a point, it's a big deal. But you lose a couple tenths of a point, that's a big deal, too. and they had paid a lot for the property. Radio was inflated at the time, so there was a lot of pressure. I used to tell that story where we got up to a 4 share from a 0.7. They'd just come off a satellite. They were a beautiful music station. Came off a satellite. Oh, here's a story about Bob and Zip. Bob and Zip together again. That's a long gap in between.
And is it a talk show they do, or are they?
Yeah, I think it's
in
a
between
talk
music.
Show.
Okay,
I think it is. We'll have to ask them.
Yeah,
but we bumped up, and they did a lot of advertising, did a lot of billboards, did a lot of TV. They were in this one contest I hated. It was write 4 songs in a row and fax it in.
Well, that's a way to increase time spent listening.
And the winner, they did a drawing at the end, and the winner, I think, won $10,000.
Really?
Yeah. Does that seem like not enough?
Back then, though, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
That's a lot.
It was a long contest. It went for a whole book, and it was like, write down 5 times in a row, back then, and write down whatever, 10,000. I mean, who wants to hear that all the time? You know you're not going to win.
No, but you got to keep pushing it.
Anyway, when we got a 4 share, there's a big celebration, and the big boss came in, Alan Box, who owned Easy Communications, and there was a big sheet over a blackboard, and the whole time I was going, what's behind that sheet? It was like, congratulations, Drone Zip. I don't know.
Unlikely.
Sure, I thought it was something, it had to be something good. And they removed the sheet afterwards, after this big conversation about how, advertising dollars were so tough to get, and it's a battle, and we're just getting started. And behind the sheet was a 6. In other words, we needed a 6 share. Well, one station had a 6 share, KTAR. One station, the WJR of Phoenix. We weren't going to get a fucking 6.
So you just increased it by, 600%, and now they want another 50%?
Exactly. And we went down. We fell to a 3-3 during the Gulf War.
Naturally.
Right. The AMs went up. We went down, and it was like, the target was on us immediately. They'd fired the GM. They'd fired the PD. It was a rough, rough, rough go.
Sounds familiar.
And I remember, too, getting calls from people going, yeah, a friend of mine told me that somebody interviewed for your job. It's like, really? Are you sure? Well, it's secondhand, but I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow.
And I had bought a house, so I was kind of in denial. But when you hear that enough times, then job probation, 90 days, and a PD.
Where's he today?
I don't know. He got bounced out of there pretty fast because he took over our show, and he was really thought he had his. He thought he was something special.
Do you want to name him? I'll Google him.
Steve LeBeau. LeBeau. This is the kind of guy.
Locker. LE what? Sorry.
LE capital BEAU. This is the kind of guy he was. He told us in a meeting that he was firing the afternoon guy and was going to offer him the overnight job if he wanted to stay.
Mm-hmm.
He thought this was hilarious because the overnight guy was his best friend. He thought that was funny. Oh, he thought we would laugh about that.
What an asshole.
Yeah, power, hungry, big head. Man. PHBH, let me tell you.
I think I found him, or at least his... What station was it in Phoenix?
KMXX.
Oh, that's a different guy. I don't know who this guy is. Another guy with the same exact name?
Wow, I doubt it.
In radio, but worked at different stations. This guy works in the Twin Cities.
He was gone a year after we were gone.
I'll keep looking for him.
Yeah, I think he went to Virginia Beach or Norfolk or somewhere.
Wait.
Norfolk.
Okay, I'll keep looking for him.
Yeah, if you get a glimpse. So anyway, let's give Zipper a buzz. He's in... has a house in Shrewsbury. Actually, he kept it when we went to Phoenix.
Oh, really?
He's still in the same house. A nice house.
Wait, so what? I mean, I don't know if this is something you'd get into. What happened to him when he left? Where did he go?
He went to Massachusetts and got back into radio. He was running a station for a while. He was on air. He worked part-time on air. Well, he did, his voice work has carried him.
Yeah.
He always did a lot of voice work. I think he really wanted to pursue that. I think he got sick of the morning jack around.
Everyone can understand that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he's older than I am by 6 years, which he often pointed out.
Well, now you can point it out in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good to be youthful.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember why he always said that.
Hello.
Zipper!
Yeah, that would be me.
How you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
Good. Sorry we're late.
That's all right. Hey, what's 20 minutes when it's been 24 years?
Exactly. You'll laugh about this. I was telling a story about you and Bob at AAF and how you guys were a hot property and you got a lot of job offers and you were going to go to Sacramento, right?
Right, yeah. KZOK, I think it was.
Oh, I think it was KZZ. No, KZZP was Phoenix.
Wait a minute. No, that's Phoenix.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was Nationwide. I remember Nationwide Insurance owned it.
Right. Yeah. And they were a big deal. I mean, it was a great signal and all that. And at the last minute, you declined, right?
Yes, I did. I can tell this is going to be painful.
Sorry about that.
But go ahead. There's a lot of pain in this story, believe me. But go ahead.
Well, I was laughing when I said it because I was thinking, Zip may listen to this podcast tomorrow, and he'll be yelling at the podcast going, that's not the whole story. Because I quickly pointed out that the Twisted Tunes CD, you didn't get a lot of credit on that first CD.
No, I didn't. Well, you know, and that marriage, you know, radio marriage, fell apart pretty rapidly. But it's funny, I don't know if you mentioned it, but, you know, we're doing a weekend show now, and he's retired.
Yeah, I did.
It's all water under the bridge, so it's all good.
No, I know. It's good for some great laughs nowadays.
And that's the thing. I mean, and quite honestly, we were so out of our minds half the time. You know, I can't really recall half the things we argued about, so it doesn't make any difference. You know, seriously.
So now the show you guys are doing now, is it a talk show?
You know what it is? It is, kind of, and much to the chagrin, I think, of the powers that be, it's a mutual friend of ours, Bob Goodell, ended up being the market manager for this station in Worcester, and he was always a huge fan of you and I, as well as Bob and I.
Yeah, and Bob's a great guy.
You know, why don't you guys, do a thing on the weekend? So, and it's so antithetical, as you know, to, music formats to talk for, you know, long breaks. And so, they kind of let us do our thing, but we still squeeze a couple of tunes in and we play a bunch of Bob's Twisted Tunes. And that's a pretty prolific piece of work. I think he said he's got 800 parody songs, so there's a lot of stuff there.
There are some great, great, great songs in there. Now, which ones did you write on that first Christmas CD? You guys co-wrote stuff, and I think you wrote some stuff.
Yeah, we did, you know. Boy, I'll tell you. Oh, Come All Ye Grateful Deadheads, I know I had that was one of mine. I'd have to look at it. It's funny. He sent me a gold record.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, which I actually shattered in a moment of non-clarity.
I was going to say,
again,
is your name on it?
Honestly, I did. I trashed it. It was, some of this is a painful trip.
Oh, yeah.
But it's all good. No, you know, it's a lot of people worked on that, actually, but... and with credit to Bob too. I mean, he really was excellent we work with some of the same guys. We put some parody tunes together.
Sure.
With some of these same musicians. So he was an expert at just, you know, circling some of the great guys and I know in Seattle he had a studio in his house and whoever came through touring in town, he managed to get him out there and record. So it's all been good.
No, he blows my mind. I was telling the story about when I started WAF and you and I were trying to get off the ground and you were off to such a great start because you had 9 years with Bob there. But, you know, it was like, you know, Bob was the name you didn't want to hear on the air. And people go, hey, what happened to God's Weather? Bob's thing. And I remember, too, thinking, God, I can't believe the FCC hasn't looked into this station because you used to do that character, Ordell Creighton.
And
you always said, cocksuckers.
turned down that cocksucking music. Yeah, yeah. That was pretty edgy, really.
It was very
edgy. Yeah. And, you know, that was a tough slot for you to walk into, too. It really was, you know.
Oh, no doubt, especially when you disappeared.
Once again, I know. I had a habit of vaporizing my career. And I can laugh at it now, but at the time, it seemed like the right thing to do. But,
yeah,
some
well,
poor choices along the way.
It's so funny because Karen Grace came in and worked, and Karen was popular. She'd been well liked, and so. You know, I never,
oh, that's right. Wait a minute. I left and came back with
yes.
you, too, there. That's
exactly.
Right. That's right.
Because Karen, right. being the bleeding heart she was, she wanted to do talk radio, and she went to Rochester, and I don't know how that all went. I think there were some problems, but you know, that was what she wanted to do. And so it was like, well, what are we going to do now? And of course, I was pissed when you left. And so I was like, well, why don't we bring Zip back? And you know, well, I don't know. You know, is he over Maria?
Oh, well, you know something, and actually, yeah, you're right. That's yeah, the female quotient. It was the bane of my existence. God, I can't believe you remember that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. No, and actually, they brought me back for way less money, as I recall. Too.
Yes, they did.
And that was a harbinger of you know the industry to come for sure. We didn't know it then, but
yeah, that was
so. It was all good.
Well, that was the bonus, though. Getting Zip back for half the price. Hey.
And then how long? And then it was only like what, 2 months? I remember
before Zappas bought WAF.
Yeah, but we weren't there long before we left for Phoenix, right?
No. I was with you, then I was with Karen, then you came back, and then Zappas bought WAF, which was, I mean, it's like, oh God, what are they going to do? And that was a horror show at the beginning, and so we were like, oh boy, and we got our tapes out, and we had a lot of interest, we had a lot of shit going on, and Phoenix was the, I mean, God, when we flew out there, it was like, oh God, why not? And the money was good.
Yeah. It really was beautiful.
Do either of you remember other markets that offered to you guys?
I'm trying to remember. What was going on at that time?
Was it Don Anthony? Was that who it was?
Yeah, Don Anthony he was a headhunter, and he got a hold of our tape, and Don Anthony started spreading it all over the place, and he had a lot of ins at a lot of stations. So, you know, I don't remember exactly. I do remember when we came to Riff, though, we had an option to go to KUFX in San Jose.
Right. Well, no, wait a minute. And I seem to remember. Didn't we go out there? Didn't we fly
we did.
Out there?
Yes.
I just remember it was an incredibly expensive place to live.
It was.
And
the money was not as good, but the Lynn Woodison interview didn't go very well, and so I thought I think I'd rather be happy than make a little more money. And she seemed so miserable, and we were just funny before we called you. We were listening to this. Somebody for some reason. Well, we've been talking about the old days. Somebody sent me this producer's roundtable with Lynn Woodison on it, and I listened to 5 minutes of it, and I said, no, she wouldn't have fit. It wouldn't have worked.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, when we came to Detroit, yeah, that was, and I do recall, do you recall one of the first phone calls we took on the air? Do you remember this?
At WAAF?
Yes. Oh, no, no.
I mean, WRIF. No, go ahead. Let me, enlighten me.
If I remember it correctly, seriously. Take your yuppie shit and go back to Arizona. Click.
Your yuppie shit. Where'd that come from?
I don't know, it was literally the first day.
Well,
you know?
Three radio stations in 6 years, I think, at that point. I was pretty used to hearing. I mean, first days in new markets is such a, God, I mean, the pressure is.
What were your notions of this market before you came here? Like, what did you guys know of Detroit?
Well, Drew, you knew more about it. You're from the Midwest anyway. I had really no clue.
I had a familiarity. I knew Riff was a great signal and a great station, and that was Mark, by the way. And Jay's doing the engineering and producing the show here, so you'll probably hear their voices.
How are you?
Yeah. Hey, Zip.
Yeah. I just thought it was Midwest, and I thought it would feel it felt kind of homey to me. It felt like home. I thought the mentality was very, I felt comfortable in Detroit. Whereas Phoenix, you didn't know who the fuck you were talking to. I mean, you had so many transplants and snowbirds and, you know, there wasn't really a local feel to Phoenix, in my opinion.
At all. And there were, if you recall, there were five of every format.
Yeah.
Radio stations. I think we were one of five hot adult contemporaries, if I recall.
Yeah, we were a hybrid format. We really got I was looking at the stuff we did in Phoenix. I'm going, we really got fucked in that place because we turned that place on its ear. Some of the promotions we did, we got all kinds of TV. That Zsa Zsa shopping spree was the biggest deal, man. I mean, spending a day with her, I so remember her with her hairdresser when she met the winner. She, the first thing she said was, "Your head is unforgivable. Michael, Michael," yelling at her hairdresser to come over and fix this girl's hair. And it got carried on TV, too.
Well, yeah, but you know, that made it to Entertainment Tonight. If I recall, we had a clip on Entertainment Tonight. You know, something else too. I see if you remember this. Another ill-fated promotion. Do you remember the rich little thing?
Zip! Oh my God!
Was the mall?
Yes. Oh hell yeah! Yes. Oh my God! Zip, I've talked about it probably five times. I would guess that has got to be the most grim thing. We inherited it. We came there, and it was something they'd agreed to beforehand, and just dropped in our laps. And we're like, Rich Little at the mall. I mean, he seemed old then, and there were velvet ropes everywhere, like, you know, expecting this giant crowd, and there's like what, four people in line.
Well, if you recall, they had us like they were trying to promote the new part of the mall that they had just built. And it was way down the end, and I thought it was like caution tape. It looked like it wasn't finished.
No, it was
and
a mess.
So they said, you know, well, why don't we, you know, why don't we should be out here where people can see us? Oh, no, we really want you to be in the back. We want people to go back there and see the new place. And it, well, what a disaster. Oh. And he was a dick to begin with.
But he was a total asshole, and he had security guards with him. For four blue, God forbid, these four blue hairs hurt Rich Little.
Oh my god,
that was what an abortion. I've never wanted to be somewhere else so bad in my life. That was horrifying.
Yeah, those things never sat well with you. I was kind of open to the sales stuff, but you were like, "But we're not doing that." You know, I remember.
that was the worst. There were seriously like I'd say 8 to 10 people in line, and he was supposed to sign autographs for 2 hours. And he had security people, and oh my God, and you're stuck with this guy who is so pissed, and he's like, I mean, I don't know, was his career over at that point? I mean, whose fault was that? I don't even know.
I don't know. It, you know, that's a long time ago. You know, 20 plus years ago. Yeah, I think he was already sort of shown the door. You know what I mean? I think somebody said they paid him $5,000 or something. Oh, that was awful. That really was awful. That was awful.
Oh, man.
But, you know, but the other thing was, if you remember, you know, the improv was there. We had, like, Foxworthy and Bill Engvall and all those guys coming through, and David Spade at that point.
Dennis Miller.
To go to Saturday Night. Yeah.
Remember Dennis Miller HBO special. We went out to that, whatchamacallit, in the Buttes, that hotel he was staying at, and we recorded the interview.
Yeah.
He was great. He was a cool, cool guy.
Which one of you had the story about Spade crying?
Oh, Zip, remember when we were flying to St. Louis to audition for a week, and David Spade was in front of us?
He was in the airport, going to audition, I think, wasn't
yes.
he? He
yes.
was going to audition for Saturday Night Live. That's right.
And if you remember, he was kind of freaking out in line talking to his mom.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. God, you got a better memory than me, man. That's, wow.
No, it was really, it was really, 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 really weird. It was crazy. And I think we had him in the studio a couple times because he was a local comedian then. He opened for Dennis Miller, in fact.
Yeah. And he was, you know, and he's never really changed much. He was always kind of the same.
No.
You know, from those early days as well.
He's done so well for himself. But that St. Louis week is another one, you know, that, God, what a, we went through a lot of nightmares together. That St. Louis week was just hell. I thought they'd already fired the guy. I thought we were just filling in. He was still hired. He was taking a week off, and we were being auditioned while this guy still had the job.
Oh, do you remember, I don't know if you've told the story, Tommy Lasorda and the Weight Watchers ice, was it Weight Watchers?
Yes, yes. Sound familiar, Mark?
No.
Tommy Lasorda.
That was brilliant on your part.
Thank you.
Tommy. No, it was. Go ahead. Go ahead and tell him.
Tommy was promoting Weight Watchers, and so we got a gallon of ice cream. It was not Weight Watchers, like Häagen-Dazs. And filled a bowl, yeah. I mean, like yeah. five scoops of it, and told the audience, you know, we're going to feed it to Tommy Lasorda, tell him it's Weight Watchers. And he ate the whole thing, and he was going, oh, man, he's fantastic. And, you know, Zip, you're not going to believe this. John Hewlett just celebrated 40 years at Keishi. The U-Man?
John, oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember. Oh, yeah, U-Man, absolutely.
And the U-Man told me that he had shared that story with Lasorda years later at spring training, and Lasorda didn't laugh. He said he didn't think it was funny at all.
No doubt.
And remember those Goombas that Lasorda came in with? He had these big ass guys.
Rich Little's bodyguard.
Yeah, Rich Little's guys were moonlighting with Tommy Lasorda. And he sat down. And we're trying to talk to him during commercial break. He barely said a word to us. He had the newspaper in his face, and he was just a real asshole. And as soon as the mic came on, he was a new. He was like, you know, Mr. Gracious.
Oh man, yeah, it was fun. And then to come to, you know, to Detroit from Scottsdale, Arizona, technically. Wow, what an adjustment.
Yes. You know, well, this week, 25 years ago. Well, actually, not this week, but a couple weeks before, when we came in together, the Anita Hill thing was going on. With Clarence Thomas, you know, who's put pubic hair.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And I remember just being riveted to the TV after we'd interviewed, and we looked like we'd secured the job. And it was all, I guess, not so uphill after that. That first year was a bitch, man. That was a mother, and you were having a tough time, and it was a lot of stuff.
You know, and I cleaned up my act. It took a while.
Yeah, but, well, takes everybody a while.
And I'm trying to, I'm trying to think back. It was Arthur, right? It was Arthur P. Costan.
Yep. Yes, Steve Costan. Ann Carlini.
Right.
Wait, no, Ann was part-time. Costan, Arthur, Mark Addy was like 10 to 2.
Okay.
And Steve Williams, the black guy, was overnight.
Yeah, like with the jazz pipes, Steve Williams. Yeah,
yeah, he was really good. Which was weird, a black guy in a rock format, and he gets stuffed in overnight, the back of the bus. Jeez.
Yeah. And do you remember, like, it was like almost the second week we were there, we had the Jamaican You're Crazy thing.
Another inherited promotion.
Which was kind of fun, but I recall you and Mike goading me in after six scotches and sparking up a fatty to jump off those cliffs at Rich Cafe.
That's right.
You injured
yourself, and you complained about it for months.
Well, the funny thing was, I'm going to do this. Waddle out, jump off, and I hit the water, and I come back up, and the local natives are like, "Hey, biggest splash of day, man! Biggest splash of day!" Like, wow. And I was kind of numb. Yeah, I bruised my tailbone, something wicked. I also recall one of our faithful listeners diving off the top of the pool bar and breaking his nose. Remember that?
Yes. We're at a very respectable resort with, you know, 50 riff listeners. And, I mean, they tore that place inside out. I'm sure the second day they're going, never have this fucking radio station back again. Yeah, a guy dove off. It was like the lifeguard's chair or something in the shallow end or somewhere, and he hit his nose in the bottom of the pool and broke his nose.
Oh, my God.
And
honest to God, those people were drunk from the time we left Metro. No, till the time we got back. I mean, they were just shit-faced.
Yeah, and the guy with the broken nose, he couldn't have been less bothered. He was not bothered at all by it. It was no big fucking deal. That thing was a mess, too. I mean, I bet he's got
like
horribly deformed.
Badge of courage. Oh, man.
Wow.
That's great.
Well, man.
It's 25 years then. Holy
25 fucking years. I can't. I mean, that seems ridiculous. But sometimes it seems longer than that, though.
Yeah, and we were, you know, catching up earlier. It's just the trials and tribulations of life. You know what I mean?
The bookends.
Long and winding road.
Mark and I were talking about that. It's been, you know, there's a great ride in the middle, but the bookends were tough, man, because I got to tell you, what you missed the second year at Riff was, I really thought they were trying to make us quit. And I don't know if you've ever been through that before when somebody's trying to make you quit and they'll just do...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yep. Oh, actually, well, yeah, I went through it with you that day they brought me in at AAF. It was like, hey, look, you know, you have two choices. You can leave, we'll get you, cut you a check, or you can do dubs at night.
Right.
I've been there.
Yeah, it was a lengthy period, though. And I just remember finding out, this was in 93, so you'd probably been gone 8 months or so.
Yeah.
I found out, I was doing the promo faithfully every day, and find out that they haven't been running it for like 4 months.
Oh, really?
They're not even running it. I'm producing it every day, and it's not being run.
That's nice.
Yeah, I know. Ooh. Thanks a lot. Ooh. That's the way to promote the old morning show.
Well, there were a lot of changes in ownership around that. Wasn't there changes in ownership with Riff?
Yeah, there was. Not yet, early? Though. It was still Great American at that time. And, you know, they promoted Arthur P. That was what they banked on. Yeah. And the morning show, it's funny, the morning show was like an afterthought at WRF at the time. And that changed. But, you know, and Arthur had been there forever, so I understood that. But if they were going to get going, they had to get the morning show hot. And the biggest insult of all was when they sold WRF at that meeting, I think it was, I want to say Dave Kroll, who was the head of Great American, had a meeting with the staff and said, well, you know, the morning show change. We never got over the morning show change. And Mike and I are like, oh, thanks a lot. And thanks for promoting the show.
Well, now the two guys that brought us in or were there, Bob Shute and Jim Pemberton, right?
They were gone.
They were gone. Yep. Prior to me leaving.
Yes.
Correct?
Yep. And Clint Sly and Greg Osham came in, and Clint was he was a whirlwind. I'm sure he's done phenomenally somewhere. And Greg Osham has held jobs, a bunch of good jobs since then. So, you know, they were sharp guys, but we were inherited dead weight to them, I think.
Yeah.
Not so much Clint. Clint was a cool guy, and he was a real positive guy, but I just think they thought the thing was going nowhere because you were gone, and Mike was just coming out of character, which is really hard.
Mm. Yeah.
And it took him about a year, but... and I don't know if I would have bet on us, to be honest, at that time. It's just that the market was so oriented towards characters. Remember how benchmarks it was? Everybody did this at this time. And, you know, we had Mr. Stress at this time, Bob Boner at this time, TC at this time, you know, Fred McLeod Sports.
Right, yeah.
And they were obsessed with that. And eventually we just kind of chucked everything and drove a truck through the middle and said, fuck you. We're talking nonstop. We're going to take phone calls. We called out, you know, to anywhere, anything that sounded interesting. We just dial it up and let it rip. And it was a real rip-roaring, just a completely different show from anybody. And it didn't take that long once we started doing it. But we didn't start doing it until they sold the station because nobody's really minding the store.
Yeah.
Well, it's come full circle now because everybody wants benchmarks. Curious.
Yeah.
How long did the character stuff lasted how long?
Probably another year after you were gone, and then when the station sold, I started dropping more music in the morning to the point that we were playing like two songs an hour. And you know, Greg would come in and go, how many songs did you play today? And I'm not sure. I think we dropped a couple. You know? And you'd play more music as the morning got towards 8 o'clock and you knew everybody was listening, you'd play maybe a little more music. And 9 o'clock maybe play a lot of music. But
was he receptive to that?
Actually, I think he thought it was working.
Yeah.
So he really was kind of receptive. I can't deny that as much as I'd like to. And then eventually it was like, well, let's not play any music. And the ratings just popped. I mean, that spring of 93 book, we were second 18 to 34, and I think we were third or fourth 25, 54. And the spring book, we were number one in both. So there was, you know, how many shows were doing all talk in rock format in 1994? I mean, Howard Stern, John Brandmeier.
Imus, maybe.
Don Imus. He wasn't really in rock, though. Yeah. I mean, on FM, Bob Rivers wasn't.
No.
Was Charles Lockwoodera in Boston? He played music, didn't he?
Yeah. It wasn't a solid wall of talk. But yeah, quite honestly, there were far fewer commercials, too. You got to remember the time frame. You know what I mean? Oh. Even then, I think.
Yeah, Zip and I were talking about this earlier. Skip Mahaffey, our dear friend who produced the show in Phoenix, was a great guy, really talented. He went off and did his own show in Tampa, did a country show. And this is a lot of inside radio stuff, but I hope people are enjoying it. Skip went to the competitor when he was doing really well. He was number one. He was killing the format and he was killing the market. And he got hired by the competition. And he called me, and I said, how's it going? He said, oh, not so great. And I said, what's the problem? He said, well, you know, for example, my 7 o'clock hour on Friday, I had 26 units. 26 commercial units. And they're bugging him, Skip, what's going on? Where are the ratings, man? And you're playing 26 units? I mean, that could be a 60, a 30, a 15, but that's too many fucking units.
Wow.
I mean, you know, nobody's going to listen for more than 5 minutes. So,
you know, backing up to that, you know, when we first got there, we replaced Ken Calvert and Lynn Woodison, correct?
Right. Ken had gone to LLZ. He had 18 months in the afternoon, and then he replaced Jim and George, which no one knew but Riff, because they had seen the contract. And so they spread the word really fast. So Jim and George knew that they were on borrowed time in the morning.
And so how long had Ken and Lynn been on the air? A long time, right?
Yeah, they've been on a long time. They've been at Riff a good while. They had a nice show going. They had TC, and they had Mike Clark doing his characters, and Mike did a great job in his characters back then. Yeah. So they had a nice show.
Hence that frosty phone call remark, you know, when we got there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that is, yeah, it is brutal to step in, especially as traditional and you know, long-time co-host morning team. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the first day in Boston, and you know what was fun about that was AAF was so much looser than anywhere I'd worked. I mean, I mentioned the cocksucker thing with Ordell Creighton, but some of those parody songs were really edgy. And then the first day I was there, I remember we were talking about Liz Walker, who was the anchor on Channel 4, was it, in Boston?
Yeah, at the time, yeah.
And she was pregnant, she was single, and no one knew who the father was. And I remember you saying something like, what's the question of the day today? Maybe we should ask, who knocked up Liz Walker? Which is the kind of thing you'd say off the air, but, you know, I thought, oh, wow, this is going to be kind of fun. I can tell this is going to be pretty cool.
Just for the record, I don't remember saying that. Oh, my God.
You know, it was great when Zip came back after being gone, you know, and Karen had filled in. We were screwing around like, well, what are we going to do the first day? You know, and so I don't know why we started doing this, but we had all these IDs, you know, that had been done by bands, you know, like the Rolling Stones. And a lot of them were group IDs, you know, I'm Mick, hey, this is Keith, hey, this is Charlie, you know, and we're the Rolling Stones, you're listening to WAF. So Zip, we started inserting Zip in the IDs, you know, like, where's Zip been the last year? And so it's like, hey, this is Mick, this is Charlie, hey, Zip here, you know, and you were so good with the EQ. I mean, your production was really a strength of yours. You know, you really made it sound like you were in those IDs. And they were all really funny. And, you know, like REO Speedwagon IDs. And it was just it was like once you did two of them, I mean, it was like, well, we got to do all of them.
do you remember Skitzel Radio? Do you remember that?
Oh, God. That was an April Fool's Day thing.
Was it?
Yeah, it was April Fool's.
It was.
Yeah.
Pan.
Yeah, explain that one.
Yeah, Drew in the left channel and Zip in the right channel.
Awesome. I love that.
It was fucking hilarious. It was really good. I got to tell you, that was one of the best April Fool's Day. I hate April Fool's Day because there's just not anything new to do, but yeah. That was Schizo Radio.
But you know that if you remember the first April Fool's thing we did in Detroit with the Pamprin?
Oh.
And the University of Michigan, wasn't it?
Yes. Michigan was being disqualified from the NCAA tournaments because they'd found Pamprin in the system of Chris Webber or something.
That would have been the Fab Five.
And people were so fucking mad. They never stopped to say, what Pamprin? Why would anybody be taking – that's for PMS.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Phoenix Suns have been sold to Japanese investors. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and Kurt Rambis helped us out on that, which was, I think he probably regretted heavily because they were pissed.
They never do that now.
No, nobody would do that now.
Nobody would get away with that now.
Kurt Rambis,
yeah, nice guy. Great guy.
The greatest guy. God, he was a good guy. He's still married to Linda Rambis. I don't know if you remember her. She was great.
Now, is he still in the NBA somewhere? Is he?
I think he's with the Lakers doing something in that organization. He's been head coach at a couple teams. He's had a few jobs. He's always up there doing. Mark's looking him up now. Mark is just super quick on the computer over here.
Oh, he's that's right. He's an assistant at with the Knicks. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So that might be another short-lived Kurt Rambis' job, but he's still, he's done really well. He's done great.
Cool. Zip, cool. That's great, man.
I was telling Drew, I remember when I listened to you guys, one of the big stories was Jeffrey Dahmer when you started. And another one, which would have been huge locally, was, wasn't that Kevorkian? Wasn't a lot of the Kevorkian stuff?
Oh, I mean, Kevorkian.
What do you guys remember from dealing with Kevorkian or Dahmer? I mean,
you know,
pretty heavy yet funny subjects to work with.
We interviewed Kevorkian once. Do you remember that? Were you there when we interviewed Kevorkian?
It seemed again
a little hazy.
Factoring in the brain cell loss. I'm not. Yeah, maybe so.
Okay, because here's how.
I know you portrayed Kevorkian in a number of gag calls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that, we really had a lot of fun with that. And we had a parody song, too, to Calling Dr. Love, Calling Dr. Death, which we used to play it. We used to play that for years. But Kevorkian came in with Figer, and they were promoting a Mitch Ryder song about Dr. Death. And it was basically Mitch Ryder trying to resurrect his career with this stupid song. And we was like, we couldn't have given a fuck about the song, but we wanted to talk to Jack. It was the only way we could get Jack in. So it was one of these really awkward things where, you know, Mitch was kind of butting into to, you know, mention that, yeah, you know, we're really here for this song. We just really wanted to get good stories from Jack about his sparsely furnished apartment and, you know, his...
yes, I do remember that now. Yeah.
Very, very awkward. But and Figer, of course, you know, it was hard to get a word out of Jack because Figer was there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was a pretty chatty guy. Oh, man. It's funny. It's all flooding back to me now. That was a that was a wild year. But, you know, I still was going back to Phoenix and AF just in the fact that it's funny. I tweeted out that you were going to be on. And I was like, we worked at three stations. And I was like, yeah, Zip and I worked at three stations. That's a lot of stations. And it wasn't that long a time, but it was a lot of shows. And a lot of creative brain cells were really strained trying to make stuff work.
It was fun. And actually, in Phoenix, too, you know, Skip Mahaffey played such a huge part. He really was funny. Do you remember the incident with the fuck me, fuck me, fuck me? That one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we played the wrong take. Skip did this entertainment reporter who was pretty flaming, you know, pretty typical for the time, but he was really good at it. It was a way to get a lot of tabloidy stuff out. And so, you know, he mispronounced somebody's name or something. He's like, ah, fuck me, fuck me, fuck me. Take two. And we played that. And I mean, no delay. We didn't have a delay. Do we have a dump button?
No, we didn't. And it was the first day of the new Gary Brobst, who we talked about earlier. That was his first day.
Oh, as GM.
As GM there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I walked down to his office, and he's got us on, and luckily he was on the phone. He had us on in the background, but he was on the phone. He goes, hey, Zip, what's up? I said, hey, we got a little issue. Got loose on the air.
Oh,
and he goes,
yeah.
What? And he was kind of a real Christian guy, if you recall. He was pretty laid back.
Okay.
And I just said, the worst one. He goes, don't let it happen again. He was cool about it.
That's
we didn't get one call.
No,
you know,
I don't know what was going on with that. Probably nobody was listening, but
probably at that point.
I know you're going to remember this. Do you remember when we had a bit running on the two track, and it might have been Skip doing that same character? And Zip threw like a wadded up piece of paper for the garbage, and it landed right in the play thing and the two track and stopped the tape. I mean, a total fluke. But I'll never forget that. It was like, it was a million places that thing could have landed. And
tried to do it again, you wouldn't be able to.
No way. And, you know, Gary Probst just reminded me of something. He was our GM at in Phoenix, and he had come in. The guy that hired us got fired. Gary came in. He's a good guy. He was a little heavy on the monogramming, and I'm not going to rag Gary because he passed away, and he's a good guy. But he had his car was monogrammed. Like, the driver's side door was monogrammed.
Oh, my God.
All his shirts were monogrammed.
I just remembered something else. Who hosted Entertainment Tonight back then?
Are you trying to get to Phyllis George?
No. He dated, who was the other host of Entertainment?
Wait.
She was like a Miss America.
Mary Hart?
Mary Hart. used to date him. Remember, she came in the studio, and he was, do you remember that day? And he was, like, really awkward with her?
Yes.
And they...
Yeah, it was freaky. It was the weirdest fucking thing. You know, it's like they knew each other, obviously, and we're like, what is going on with these two people? And then we find out that he had dated her, and his wife looked exactly like her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like, he was having a flashback or something. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was strange. Hey, Zip, man, it's been great. And I want to tell you, you know, if for any reason you want to blow in and do a couple shows, it'd be a lot of fun.
It'd be great. It's been great catching up to you. Yeah. You know, I can't believe it's been 25 years.
I know.
But I appreciate it. Yeah. We'll chat. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, for sure. You got it, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
You bet.
See you, Zip.